Our scripture is from Acts 4, verses 8 through 13. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Happy Sabbath!
Happy Sabbath!
Yes, it is a wonderful Sabbath. This is a very happy Sabbath. Of course, they all are, but this is a very special one. For those of our church members here, we know that we've been speaking through a series, correct? On how to find peace. And I told you that we were going to continue that, and we will. But something very special came up, and that is the fact that we have some folks ready to commit their lives to Jesus. And as much as we could have just kind of put it at the end of the normal series, I said, no, we want to make this a special Sabbath. And so, yes, we will continue that series. I promise you. But today, we're going to lay that aside and enjoy having three more people dedicate their lives to the Lord. So we praise God for that. So before we go any further, though, let's bow our heads again before our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, Lord, truly, we humbly bow before you. We are full of joy this morning, and we know all heaven is singing and joy in your heart, too, because three more of your children have decided to follow you and dedicate their lives to you. So, Lord, as we go forth and follow you and your example into baptism, I just ask a very special blessing upon these three candidates, but also upon all of us as we worship with them, with you, and give you honor and glory. And so, Father, touch our hearts and our lives, we pray in thy holy name. Amen. You know, baptism is a way of announcing to all the world we are followers of Jesus Christ. It's a public declaration of a very private decision. It's something about which we cannot keep silent, even as Peter could not help but speak of what he had seen and heard. Because, you know, in the Gospels, you remember Peter, he was kind of wobbly. Sometimes he was bold as a lion, and other times as timid as a mouse. He was all over the place. He was unreliable. But after the resurrection, and inflamed by the Holy Spirit, he became an evangelistic powerhouse. And preaching sermon after sermon into this hostile crowds in Jerusalem, he stood up and boldly said, "Jesus Christ is the way." And in this sermon in Acts 4, he preaches something here that has become very controversial in our day. He says there in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." None other. And yet in our modern culture today that we live in claims that there are many ways to God, many routes, like there's different roads to the top of a mountain or something. But Peter strongly disputed that right here in verse 12. Because when we're baptized and we announce to the world that we are followers of Jesus Christ and his word, when we do that, we're entering and walking on a very unique and narrow road. When the world accuses us of having an exclusive faith, I'd like to propose four things we can say. We'll take them in order. First one, we can say it is factual, according to Scripture. Because there is one accusation about the Christian that is true. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The Christian message is dogmatic. It's exclusive. And while Christians should not be, in general, a narrow-minded person, we are narrow-minded in this. Jesus Christ is the only way. The second one I want to present is that it is scriptural, because the narrowness of the gospel is scriptural. Let's take a little tour of the New Testament here and see how consistently and insistently the Bible teaches us the truth about Acts 4, verse 12. We live in such a tolerant age of everybody believing everything and whatever they want to set their standard. And we Christians can get caught up in that too. We're sometimes surprised ourselves to see, though, how plainly spoken the Bible is. Turn to Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in there. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." Go on down to verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Very distinct, very plainly stated. Turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And let's go to verse 47 and 48. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life." He says, "I am that bread of life." Very singular, very to the point. Flip over a page or so to John chapter 8, verse 24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he," Jesus says, "ye shall die in your sins." Very singular, isn't it? John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Very singular, very distinct, very unique. Let's go on back to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one." And slide on down to verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Time and time again, one, only Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is," who? "Christ Jesus, he and he alone." And the last one to underpin this, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." One, Jesus Christ. Okay, so the third point I'd like to say is that following, it is logical. You know, people say that you're so dogmatic and so narrow-minded on this. Well, what would you think of someone who would say, well, you know, mathematics can't be true. It's too narrow-minded. It's too restricted. It's too dogmatic. I mean, it claims that 2 plus 2 equals 4, never 5 or 3. It claims the laws are universally true. It's absolute precision. So I refuse to believe anything that is so dogmatic and so narrow-minded and so exclusive. Therefore, mathematics must be false. The very nature of reality, friends, demands there's unchangeable absolutes. It's all throughout creation. Without definite and predictable physical laws, this universe would not function. Is it not reasonable that spiritual realities should be just as definitely defined? Everyone knows that to fly an airplane or practice medicine or bake a cake, one must follow specific procedures, right? One can't even play a game without rules. Then why attempt to avoid rules which God has set down in the spiritual realm? Because sincerity alone won't do. Sincerity won't get astronauts into space. Or sincerity won't prevent someone who's taken arsenic from dying. You can be sincere as can be and be sincerely wrong. That's why God gave us his word. To reveal himself, and the one way home is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because it would be silly to refuse to follow a map just because it's restrictive. I mean, you can take any road you want and go to the one spot you're heading. That doesn't work, does it? No, we have a map to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way and the only logical way. And Jesus is revealed within Scripture. The last point is, it's profitable to follow God. I mean, there's a wonderful benefits to following Christ right here, right now. There's peace, joy, and happiness. We've been studying that a little bit. We're going to continue. Peace, joy, and happiness. There's freedom from sin. There's strength. There's courage. There's eternal life. A gift from God. You know, the story, you may have heard of it. True story I've read of a woman in California that was picked up for speeding. I'm sure none of you know what that's like. But this lady was stopped by the cops, given a ticket, and she ends up in court. She's taken before the judge. And the judge reads off the citation and says, guilty or not guilty? She goes, I'm guilty. The judge banged his gavel and fined her $100. But then he stood up, took off his robe, laid it down, walked down to the front, stood beside the woman, took out his wallet, pulled out $100, paid her fine. The judge was her father. He was a just judge. Oh, yes, he was. The law still stood. Yet he loved his daughter, and he paid her penalty. That's what God did for us. Amen?
Amen.
We've broken his standards, his law, his perfect character. We've rebelled against God. We've disconnected from our Creator, the giver of all life. And the Bible says that what we earn when we disconnect from the life giver is death. Bible says it plainly, the wages of sin, you earn wages, right? The wages of sin is death. We earn it. But God banged down his omnipotent gavel and says death. You've chosen to leave me. But then he left his heavenly throne. He laid aside his glory and wrapped his divinity in humanity. And he came and he died on the cross. And he took our penalty and paid our punishment. And because of that, we, when we choose to follow him and learn what it is to pick up our cross daily and to let self die completely so that he lives within us and guides us into the way everlasting, he then takes us all the way home. What a wonderful God we have. Amen? So when we follow him, living for the one who died for us and who alone can take us to heaven. Yes, it's narrow. Only way to heaven. And here today at these baptism waters, we are dedicating ourselves, the three particular, but all of us need to reconsider our walk with God. If you have not been baptized or considering what God can do for your life, please get a hold of me. I would love to, whether you're online or here, because time is short. Jesus is coming. The signs are rapidly increasing all around us. We need to be serious about our relationship with the Lord. Jesus is coming back because there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. We live for Him alone. At this time, I'd like to invite our candidates up. We have Randall and Andrea Spencer from our Young College Church family, and Frank Honeycutt from Sutherland, and we are so glad to have you folks decide to follow the Lord and the Lord only. So if there's anybody here who doesn't know these folks, my brother here, Frank, and over here we have Randall and Andrea. Yes, so we are so glad to have them here and decide to join by following Jesus Christ and His example in baptism. Dedicate their lives anew today to Him. So rather than just time-wise, instead of going through and reading as we do all the commitments, we have studied all of these. You agree with all of the baptismal beliefs and commitments for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they do. Not only is a wonderful view, but it signifies another person who's dedicating their life to Jesus Christ. And there's nothing better than that. So, is there anything you would like to share?
Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So. And now we have her husband, Randall. And Randall, would you like to say anything?
Yes, I'd like to have Anna and Oscar stand, please. Anna and Oscar, we want to thank you for your love and kindness you've showed us. The love you show for each other is very special to Andrea and I because you love Jesus and you put Him in your heart. I want to thank our Young College family. All of you are wonderful people, the children, the adults. We love you all. Thank you.
Baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a day that we have waited for a while, and we're so pleased that Frank is finally able to come in here. Yeah, he has back issues of the major scale, and just a few days ago, he was injected with some cement to be able to help his back with his pain to be able to come here today. And we are just so happy that the Lord has blessed tremendously, hasn't He, in the fact that he's even here today. And so now that he is able to come here today, I said, we're going to lay everything else aside, and we're going to praise God because we've been waiting for this. And so I just praise the Lord for His goodness and for His continued work in Frank's life. He's such a blessing to me already, as are these two. And so anyway, I'm just so happy. Would you like to say anything?
I just want to thank all the church family here. You've shown me nothing but love since I've been coming. And I just want to say that it's a great pleasure to be baptized today and publicly knowing that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to live the rest of my life however I can to please Him and walk with Him in every walk that I do. Thank you.
Amen.
Frank, it was my heart great joy to see you able to make this commitment to Jesus Christ today. And to join with His kingdom and this chapter of His kingdom in our church families. So, it is with great honor and gladness that I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
What a joy it is. So as we take a few minutes and dry off, we'll be right back. I just invite you, though, to take these moments as Ruth continues with her music, to consider your walk with God. And is the Holy Spirit touching your heart and your life in a certain way that God is trying to grow you? I pray that you would reconsider your vows if you have also joined the Lord in baptism and try to make that fresh and new and meaningful in your heart. No better time to consider that than a day like this. And if you have not yet considered that and you're thinking or would like to study or see what this is about, again, please get a hold of me or someone here in this church that we would be more than happy to lead you through the Bible and to get to know Jesus Christ, the one and only way. May God bless us. We're so glad to be able to welcome these folks not only into our church membership, but most importantly, into the family of God. Amen. Not only have they dedicated their lives to Jesus Christ here this morning, but I want to challenge all of you, because you have a commitment also to help one another and to be supportive and open up your house, your heart, your family to help instruct and continue to grow not only them, but all of us. Amen? Amen. That's what a church is about. We're not a showcase for saints. We're a hospital for sinners. And Jesus Christ cures us of that. And so let's encourage one another and celebrate the fact that we have three new in our church. So praise God. So it's my pleasure to give baptismal certificates now for Andrea and for Randall and for Frank. So praise God. You say amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy it is today to be one of your children, to be in your family. Lord, for you to call us heirs of the kingdom. Lord, that is no small thing. It is incredible. We can hardly wrap our minds around it, but you and your love and your grace accepts us right where we are and then lovingly walks us step by step if we'll hang on to your hand, allowing you to do the work in our hearts and our lives that need to be done so that we can hear those wonderful words from the lips of our Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, Lord, we rejoice today in Frank and Andrea and Randall dedicating their heart to you. And, Lord, I pray that you would touch all of our hearts, that we would recommit our lives fresh and new today as reminded just what it means to join your family and to allow you to be the Lord. So, Father, as we continue through the Sabbath day, join us, fill us with your heart and with your spirit, for you are truly our friend. You are all the world to me. You are more than the world. Lord, you are eternal. So, Father, work in all of our lives. Take us into eternal life and eternal joy with Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's our prayer in Jesus' holy name. God's people say, amen, amen and amen.